You're listening to Gaming Night Radio, the perfect podcast for your gaming nights. With reviews, news, and discussions, we celebrate the best of gaming and call out the worst. Along with your host, longtime gamer, master of the obvious, and grumpiest old man, Matt Ailey. What's going on? What is going on? Man, I will tell you. Here we go. I will tell you what is going on. I cannot believe this, but in less than a week, here we are talking about Xbox again. Wow. My mind is blown. If you would have told me this was happening last year, I would not have believed you. Not for one second. I would have said, give me a freaking break, man. You're so full of BS, I can smell it from here. But no, here we are in less than a week talking about Xbox again. Welcome to episode 7 of Gaming Night Radio. Thank you so much for listening. I appreciate you taking a chance on this podcast. Even though you don't know the podcast, you don't know me, yet you're here hanging out, and I very, very much appreciate it. I am not gonna let you down. No, sir. Today's episode, as you can guess, is all about Xbox. Obviously, we'll be talking about today's showcase and everything we experienced today. But first, we'll be looking at a new feature coming to Xbox One consoles. Yes, Xbox One consoles. That kind of slipped under the radar this last week here, but it is a really big deal, a game changer. So lots of content to dig through, lots of questions for you. So if you have thoughts, questions, topics, content you'd like to see in the podcast, you can contact me at gamingnightradio@gmail.com. All right, with that all out of the way, let's get into our first topic of the day. And our big game changer topic comes from an IGN article written by Taylor Lyles. And here's the news. Here is the big deal. Xbox is going to keep Xbox Ones alive through their gaming cloud service. So you will be able to stream next-gen games to old consoles. You will be able to play next-gen games on Xbox One. If you own an Xbox One right now, maybe you can't afford an Xbox Series X or S, maybe you can't find one right now. You don't have to stress out about not being able to play these next-gen games. Because Microsoft is making it available through their Xbox Cloud streaming service, the same stuff they're using for the mobile phones, the same stuff they're using for all these remote devices with the cloud gaming, they're going to bring that to the Xbox One consoles. You'll be able to play games like Microsoft Flight Simulator. You'll be able to play games like Starfield or Redfall that are exclusive to the next-gen consoles. You'll be able to play them on Xbox One, just as it is, through the cloud streaming service. So there's no date on when this is actually happening, but we now have confirmation that it's happening. And it honestly, like for me, what I think about it is this is just a brilliant way to create a solution for this next-gen shortage that we're having. Because again, a lot of people, the problem comes when it comes to next-gen consoles is you can't even get your hands on it. Like, has anyone ever seen a PS5 in their life? I haven't seen one. I've tried to get one a couple times, and it is not a thing that's happening. And damn near impossible to find. If not actually impossible to find. But the same is true for Xbox Series X and S. There's a very limited number because of the pandemic we're in. So this is a brilliant way to create a solution for the next gen shortage and keep Xbox One players playing while we move on to the next generation of games. Because that's always also one of the things too that Xbox has talked about is wanting to have these games be kind of on all systems. And it's just impossible to get the most out of Xbox Series X and anything that's going to come after that while still be attached to the Xbox One consoles. But this is a brilliant solution that I never really thought about before. Just stream them to the consoles. And there may be, you know, kind of maybe not so great of situations that come from it. Maybe you don't have a great internet connection, so your stream isn't quite, you know, solid or steady. Maybe there's a little bit of a delay in the input. We'll have to wait to see exactly how this plays out and how smooth of an experience it is. But if you can't get your hands on a next-gen console for, like, maybe the next year, maybe the next two, who knows when this supply is going to start picking up again, fear not. You can play on Xbox One. And I love this idea. I think it's brilliant. I already have myself personally an Xbox Series X, but many don't, and it may still be slow going for a while. So this is the perfect way to push into the next gen with gameplay, computing power, really get the best out of these next gen consoles, but still not leaving anyone behind. What do you think of streaming next gen games to old consoles? Do you have a next-gen console, and does this affect your decision about buying a next-gen console? Let me know what's on your mind. All right, and with that, let's move on into topic number two. This is the big one. This is the big one. Last one, topic number one, is very important. It was a game changer. Some that I felt we should talk about and bring a little bit of light to, just so you know. But this is the big one. This is what we've been waiting for, because wow, the Xbox Games Showcase extended. I was able to sit down and watch it today through the whole thing, except the end, my power cut out, then I had to switch my phone, then I, you know, put my baby down for a nap and stuff, but then I came back and finished watching it. But I mean, wow, like, didn't we get enough just on Sunday? Like, just on Sunday, didn't we get enough? Well, if you wanted more, you got it. If your jaw dropped on Sunday, Xbox was all like, here, let me pick that up for you. Just put it back there and, oh, here's some more. You dropped your jaw, get ready to drop it again. If you look at these two presentations, these two showcases together, that is a combined 180 minutes of Xbox presentation in less than a week. That's insane. Especially, as I said earlier on, consider last year and last year's presentation where they showed Halo Infinite and it looked really rough, but that whole presentation was rough. And that's fair. They had to put it together very quickly, kind of last minute almost. We didn't know the pandemic was going to be shutting down everything, right? Like, that's a very quick turnaround for these types of presentations. But if you would have told me last year, after what we got, that just hold tight, next year you're going to get 180 minutes of premium Xbox content, premium Xbox presentations in less than a week. Not in like six, in a period over 6 months, in less than a week. I would have called you crazy. I would have said, you're insane, man. There's no way that is happening. There is no way that is happening. But here we are. And it was insane. Honestly, I loved it. I thought it was an excellent presentation. You know, it was almost perfect. I would almost give it, I would almost say it was like the perfect presentation. There's one little thing, you know, maybe I would change, like literally fly, kind of a fly in the ointment thing for me. Maybe not that dramatic, like literally a wood speck in the ointment or something, but it was damn near perfect. I loved it. The host, Paris Lilly from Gamertag Radio, killed it. We got a whole slew of games, many that I'm very excited to play. And even though there are games we've already seen, we were able to really dig into these games and kind of get the background of it and see the features that we didn't have time to in the first presentation at E3. And what I was sure was coming for E3 that didn't show up and I was a little disappointed, we got confirmed today. Xbox Design Labs is back. So first, talking about the showcase, I have so many notes. It would take just forever and a day. We could be here for 4 hours straight and still have things to talk about. Maybe in the future, we'll do like a talk till you drop podcast going through some of these types of presentations. But for today, you know, let's just get started. We won't hit everything, but let's kind of dig into everything we saw today. And I want to start with Paris Lilly. I want to talk about the host. So if you just give me a second to kind of gush about the host here, because something rare happened today. Not only was it rare for Microsoft or Xbox to put on this big event and have someone from the community come in and be the host of it and talk to the developers and kind of lead you through the presentation on this kind of like hands-on level, like I just haven't seen it before. So that was very unique. But this was one of the very few times in gaming where you get a brand new host show up and they just absolutely nail it. Right, they just absolutely show up. It's not super cringy. It's not hard to listen to or hard to watch. They're not fidgeting. They're not fumbling their words like I do all the freaking time. Paris Lilly came in here and nailed it. And if you don't know Paris Lilly, he's from a podcast called Gamertag Radio that he hosts with Danny Pena and Peter Toledo. And it is an excellent podcast. I'm telling you right now, go subscribe. You will not regret it. Gamertag Radio. It's absolutely awesome. And if you found my podcast, I'm assuming you've already found theirs. But it's fantastic. And you can also find him on Kinda Funny XCast as well. But yeah, he hosted today for the first time. He's never been on that type of stage, never done that type of hosting. And he just absolutely nailed it. He was amazing. Like, he was cool, calm, collected, just a freaking pro. Now, Khalif Adams, who's a good friend of Paris, and he does the Spawn on Me podcast, which is another one you should go subscribe to, because again, fantastic. I'm just promoting podcasts like crazy here. On Twitter, he hit the nail on the head when he was talking about Paris. He's mentioning there are professionals who have been doing this forever who don't come off as well as he did. And I 100% agree. He has stage presence. And not everyone has that. You know, for myself, I've done a lot of performing, especially when I was younger, a lot of festivals, a lot of presentation, you know, singing and that sort of stuff. And as you go through these festivals and you do these performances years after year after year after year, you can see the difference between someone, and this is just watching other people, I'm not mentioning, talking about myself here, but when you're watching other people, you can tell who feels at home on stage, who has stage presence. You're just drawn to them. You could just sit there and watch them all day. They're calm, they're confident. You can tell they're in the zone, and who is not, and who's just kind of nervous about being up there. Paris had a stage presence. You could tell he just felt at home. He was having a great time. He wasn't super nervous. He wasn't super fidgety. He just came and he did his things and he rocked it. And it's a tough thing to do. I mean, he asked his questions really well. He transitioned smoothly, naturally, from interviews to content, from content to breaks. I mean, he nailed it. He spoke clearly, which is tougher than you might think. I myself sometimes have a hard time with that. I find myself slurring a lot, so sometimes I have to clean up my speech. And it's something I'm working on. Those are the things you work on early on in a podcast. So later on, you know, you don't suck and you get better. So, sorry for anyone who has to listen to this stage of the podcast. We'll get better as we go. But, I mean, he spoke clearly. Again, he nailed those transitions. He asked awesome questions and he was funny and it didn't feel forced, because sometimes when it's funny, sometimes those types of things, when they try to go for the humor move, it just feels forced. And like, those things aren't easy to do. Those things aren't easy to do. If you're not a broadcaster, if you're not someone who talks for a living, if you're not someone who gets up on stage in front of people and does presentations, maybe you say, well, those things, getting on stage, asking questions, transitioning smoothly, like those things sound pretty freaking easy, man. Speaking clearly, that sounds simple. But when you're in that situation, it's not always easy to nail. But he nails it. Especially the funny part. I talked about Khalif Adams earlier from the Spawn on Me podcast. So during the Xbox Design Labs portion of this thing, which was like so funny. So if you follow these guys on Twitter, on the internet, they kind of have this funny little rivalry where they just rip on each other's cooking. Like, oh man, your cooking sucks. Like one will post like a piece of like burnt to hell toast and be like, bro, man, this is like Khalif's cooking, or this is Paris's cooking. And they just go back and forth ripping on each other with different pictures and just burning each other all the damn time. They do it on their podcast. They do it on Twitter. They're just always bringing that kind of stuff up and just ripping on each other. And it's a fun little rivalry. They do a great job. But Paris like took it up to the next level, because in the middle of this huge presentation for Xbox and Xbox Design Labs, he was showing how you can inscribe your controller. And then on the bottom, he puts, Ka can't cook. And he really brings up a point to like point that out. So in the middle, in front of everyone, he gets the ultimate you can't cook burn on Khalif Adams. I bust a gut. That was the funniest thing, because I follow them on Twitter. I love watching them do this stuff. Like, it honestly is super entertaining. But for him to take it to the next level, to just roast the hell out of him on, you know, what would be kind of like national TV almost, right? Everyone's watching this Xbox presentation. The eyes of gaming are on this presentation, and now everyone knows Khalif Adams can't cook. And it's just, it was so funny. But those types of things are just naturally who Paris is. Like, he's just so genuine. He brought him his whole self. See, I screw up all the time. He brought his whole self to the presentation, and it just worked. It just worked. Like I said, these things aren't easy, but he nailed it. And the quality of the performance and work he did today is going to take him even further. And for many of you, like, you may think he may have just popped out of nowhere, but Paris has been working hard for years and years and years to get to this point. Like, this is what you saw today. This is the result of years of hustle and grind. Hustle and grind. And when you recognize the work he's put in to get to this point, all you can recognize and say that, like, Paris is an inspiration for all who hustle. Do the work, man, it is going to pay off. Oh, what else do you say about this guy? I mean, he was born to do it. He was born to do this. He did such a good job for his first time. Like, even pros don't do that well. And he absolutely nailed it. I'm sure we're going to see him popping up lots, you know, in the future in lots of different places from here on out. Excellent job, Paris. Excellent job. Okay, thank you for sticking with me here while I gushed about the host, because I just, like, as a performer myself and someone who, you know, gets on stage and talks in front of people a lot, and, you know, who's even figuring out this whole podcast thing, like, I just realize how tough a job that is, and he just killed it. So I just extra maybe level appreciated. I don't know. It was super good. But let's get into the games here, because that's the main chunk of what we're talking about here for the Xbox showcase. So last Sunday, so just days ago, we got dropped with that sick Xbox game showcase at E3. And there was just tons and tons of games, right? 30 games, 27 coming to Game Pass. And then a couple days later, they announced they're doing this extended showcase. And I thought to myself, okay, well, we'll probably see what? Like 5 games, developer interviews, it'll be done. Probably a half hour, 40 minutes. This sucker is like 90 minutes. 90 minutes of not necessarily new games, but these were all games that we'd already seen. But now, like the title is extended, we got to really dig into a couple of them and get a better understanding of exactly what they are. But some of the games that showed up, like Forza Horizon 5 was there. Ninja Theory was there with Hellblade 2. Even though we didn't really see too much of it, because it seems very clearly early on in development still. What else? Stalker 2, Heart of Chernobyl. We got that trailer breakdown. Age of Empires 4 was there. Sea of Thieves was there. Flight Simulator was there and had a whole big discussion poured on that. Shredders was there. You know, they had an indie showcase that was there that had Atomic Heart, Among Us, Replaced, The Ascent, Somerville, some of these great indie games that are coming. Obsidian sat down and talked about Grounded. Did I already talk about that? I might have already said that. They dug a little deeper into Sea of Thieves, A Pirate's Life, which is going to get its own deep dive itself on Sunday, June 20th. Halo Infinite was back. Scarlet Nexus, which we didn't actually see at the last one, showed up here as well. And just so many more. Battlefield 2042 was there. So it wasn't like two or three games. It was what? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 15 to 16 games, 17, 18, 19, 20, 20, more if you consider the indies that were kind of there, even though we didn't really dig too much into them. It was just, hey, remember these indie games are coming. But just so much more than I was expecting. And just to a higher level of quality than I was expecting. Like, my jaw was just like, wow, I cannot believe we're getting this level of information again, after just getting so much on Sunday. I didn't think we'd hear anything from Xbox for a long while now. But no, here they are, less than a week later, back at it. And it is crazy. What games can we talk about here? Can't talk about all of them. Let's talk about Ninja Theory here real quick and Hellblade 2. Because that one, that was the first time they showed up. They didn't show up at E3. But for this expanded showcase, they decided to show up, and they didn't necessarily show a whole bunch of gameplay, but they did some stuff a little bit behind the scenes, kind of talking about their technology and everything they're using to actually create the game. And from what I can understand, what I see, this game is probably still years out. Like, what are we, 2021? Like, 2024. Maybe late, not even. You know what? It might even be past 2024. It doesn't look like they're super far in development, but they're working hard on it. So I think this is still a long ways out. But what I kind of got from this thing and watching their little trailer and how the developers were talking about it, like, it just kind of pointed out how crazy and complicated gaming is getting when it comes to game development. And that's one of the things we don't see behind the curtain. That's one of the things, like, us as gamers don't see exactly all the little aspects and all the work that goes into it. But, like, the level of tech that's going into gaming now is just crazy. Even Forza Horizon 5, right? Well, yeah, like, they got the sky cams. They took 12 cameras down to Mexico and got, like, a ton of footage of just the skies. And use that to actually create the skies and weave that technology into creating the skies for the game. So everything you're seeing in Forza Horizon 5 in the Mexican skies, like, that is all legit. Like, that came from the skies of Mexico. They wanted to be accurate. They wanted to get it right. So that's crazy. For creating, you know, where Hellblade 2 takes place, like, they're taking satellite data. I think, was it Norway or Iceland? I can't quite remember. I haven't played them yet. I'm going to be jumping into Hellblade 1 pretty soon here. It's on Game Pass, so no reason not to. But they're actually using satellite data and going there physically and taking pictures and putting all these things together to actually create the map and the area you'll be exploring. Like, satellite data is going in to help create a video game. That seems crazy to me. They mentioned the actress is doing years of training to be ready for the role. So, like, that just level of commitment and intensity, whether it's technology or whether it's how far the actresses and the people doing the motion capture are going for this game is just, you just realize how much we don't see beyond the game. Like, we get to see the finished product. We get to see the final piece, but we don't get to see further beyond that. And there's so much that goes on. It's just crazy. It was just kind of this little peek behind the curtain that I thought was really interesting. So anyway, it was mainly just a progress update. We didn't really get any solid dates or any really solid gameplay, but I'm sure that game's going to be absolutely stunning when it comes out and will for sure be next gen only. What else can we talk about here? The Anacrusis. Is that what it's called? Anacrusis? That game looked really interesting. Kind of like this 60s sci-fi team shooter thing with a whole bunch of aliens in there. It's got this own little graphics art style that looked really interesting, really fun, colorful. It wasn't like dark and dingy, like maybe you'd think from like a sci-fi alien type shooter. It was very bright. It was very bright and colorful. And I appreciate that. Now, the interesting thing here is how the game adjust its difficulty for how you're playing. This was the main thing I took out of the Anacrusis interview. So there's an AI and it kind of adjusts the difficulty of what you're doing. Like if you got it scans like in your session, if you're with a team and you're doing like not great, you're having a rough time, it's like, okay, we're going to leave health kits along the main path so you can be able to easily find these health kits and use them, and it'll give your team a little bit of help. If your team's doing really, really good and you're just absolutely killing it, then the game says, okay, well, let's make this a little bit more difficult for them. And let's put the health kits maybe off the beaten path. So if you want to find the health kits, they're not going to be on the main path. You have to go kind of exploring to the side and maybe you'll find them over there. And then also, not only does it track your current session, it tracks you over multiple sessions. So let's say you're with the same group of friends and you're playing the game kind of over and over again and you're doing really, really well or really, really bad, however you're doing, the game's going to adjust the difficulty over how you've been doing, not just in your individual session, but over multiple sessions. So every time you're coming in, the game is looking at you differently and throwing new challenges at you. And the better you get, the more difficult the game is going to become. That is pretty cool. That is pretty cool. So I just kind of love that. That was one of the things that really stood out about the Anacrusis. Other than, you know, it's 60s sci-fi team shooter. This, it's kind of coloring and its palette and its art style. I just loved this idea of this AI difficulty adjustment. Because you know how it is. Sometimes you play with the same people, you get really good at a type of game, and it becomes the same game over and over and over again. You could do it with your eyes closed. Well, this game is going to be constantly adjusting and constantly throwing new things at you, depending how good or bad you're doing. So that's really, really cool. I also thought it was awesome you get to share perks. So if someone's like, say, like a level 50 or something, they got all these different perks for the game and you're coming in at level 1, you can actually share the perks between the two. So the person coming in at level 1 can have the same experience. They're not just bringing the team down and just sucking hard. So you can share perks, which I thought was a great way. They say it's all about that team environment, that team experience. And that's really what they want to focus on. So that game looks like an excellent game to play with your friends. It'll go perfectly along with the other ones that are coming out. The Anacrusis. That was great. Let's talk about Battlefield 2042. Because we got more information on this. We got to see the trailer again that we saw the last time. But they kind of broke it down a little bit for us as well. Now the developer also said there's 3 experiences in this thing. And the one they're talking about right now is called All Out Warfare. So this is a thing where you have 120 players on the series consoles and the next gen consoles, and it is just all out warfare. You got the air, you got the water, you got the land, you got the vehicles, you got everything going on. This is the mode we're talking about. And he says within this All Out Warfare experience, there's 2 modes, Conquest and Breakthrough. So Conquest is that mode that you know from Battlefield and even from the old Battlefront games, where it's you're capturing these little command posts to try and take over the region and whittle down your enemy's reinforcements. Breakthrough is more of a guided experience. While as Conquest is completely all over the map at any time, you can go wherever you want, however you please, Breakthrough is there's one team attacking, one team defending, and you're fighting on these certain capture points as it kind of leads you through this narrative of the battle. So that's kind of like the two types of all-out warfares. But again, 120 players on the series consoles. That's gonna be crazy. Can you imagine flying in your helicopter, looking down and seeing like just an army of tanks and people and soldiers and jeeps and whatever else just running into combat? That is going to be crazy. I'm very much looking forward to that. That just excites. Just thinking about that gets me very excited. Like, oh man, okay. Battlefield 2042 is going to be one of those games I'm definitely going to have to play, because even just viewing 120 players in this wide open space all moving at the same time forward is going to be crazy, and having that 120 players meeting them is going to be crazy. Not 120 players in total, 120 players per side. This game is going to be sick. It's going to be sick. So one thing they also mentioned, because they have a bigger map in here, they're also doing this clustering, is what they called. And it's a cluster of objectives. So it's kind of these different areas in the maps that are going to support kind of different gameplay. And you're kind of going in and capturing these different areas. From what I understood, like for example, there's one stadium area, but there's going to be multiple little conquest areas. Points within that stadium that you have to capture to kind of secure the stadium is what I understood. I'll have to wait and see if that gets cleared up. Maybe I misunderstood that, but yeah, it's this clustering of map designs where there's different objectives kind of more clustered closely together. Like they're not super spread out. Like there's some that they just have clustered together that are going to force people to start coming together and have those moments of conflict. So they're trying to organize the complete chaos of 120 players on a map, or 240 players on a map. So they're just trying to organize that a little bit. But the areas that they showed were just really interesting. So they said there's a small town, and they were showing off that map that has the kind of the sandstorm rolling in and the big neon towers and the stadium. So they're showing off that map. And they're breaking it down like there's an area in the town. There's like a totally destructible old village that you can go through. And like while tanks and everyone else are going to blow through walls trying to get the Marines and the soldiers inside, like it's a great way to kind of sneak through there. And then when you get into the high tops, like you can go inside the skyscrapers, ride the elevator, make those adjustments, you know, that we saw in the trailer to your gun on the fly, which is a huge, vast improvement to this game. Because usually you'd have to die before changing adjustments. Now you can just do it on the fly, which is really, really cool. Then when you get to the rooftops, you can have these battles between skyscrapers. You can zip line across the skyscrapers. You can jump off the building and parachute down back to the ground floor. So you can get to these different areas of the map really rapidly. And he said if you're one of the specialists who has the wingsuit, you can jump off and literally wingsuit to a different area of the map. So there's totally different ways to actually traverse, get around this map, and different areas of conflict. So it's going to be so exciting to play this game and all that verticality. And like, man, I don't know. I'm going to go straight for that rooftop. I'm going straight for that rooftop. That is going to be just... I'm just so excited about that. And they talked a little bit more about the map evolutions as well. Like, you'll have ones that, like, the sandstorm that comes in, where it doesn't necessarily do damage, but it totally changes the mood of the map. Like, from bright and sunny to just dark, kind of red skies, cloudy. And that's when you really see the neon lights and those skyscrapers, right? That's after the sandstorm comes through. But then also, there's levolutions that are going to disrupt gameplay. So like the tornado, they're just going to roll through the map and just wipe anything out that's in the way. If you're flying a helicopter, like you're getting sucked up and it's like, see you later, bud. So you're going to have those levolutions that come through and not just change the mood or the way the level looks, but are going to completely disrupt gameplay, which I could see being pretty inconvenient, but it just brings that extra layer of tension to a battle. Like, let's say you're in a tight spot for one of those conquest points. And it's almost even, Steven, right? Like, one group's getting the advantage. A tornado rolls through, wipes out the group. It's like, okay, let's roll in. Or wipes out your attackers or defenses or, you know, savages of both armies. So now you have to kind of, like, we had a plan. It was going well, but now we have to adjust on the fly. Like, get out of the tornado, move in. What do we do here? Like, that idea to me, having that element of disruption, of chaos into, you know, what is maybe a solid plan and tactic, is very exciting. And it's an excellent way just to change things up. Every time I see Battlefield 2042, I'm getting more excited about this game. Every time I see it, I'm like, damn, that looks awesome. I don't know, it might be one I'm just going to have to bite the buck on. Might be one I'm going to have to bite the buck. Let's talk about one more here. We'll go into the first person. We'll keep it with the first person shooters. Obviously, we got to talk about Halo Infinite. That's the big title here. That's the one coming out this fall. That is what, as Xbox owners and players, whether you're playing on PC, again, or Xbox, if you're in that ecosystem, this is the game we're waiting for this year. Also, arguably, Forza Horizon 5. A lot of people really love that. But if you're talking first-person shooters, this is the one. Now, this is the point where I thought maybe this presentation could have been a little different. This is my fly in the ointment. Because as much as I love the multiplayer, and we did learn a couple things, which I'll break into here real quick, I also think it would have been awesome to get some campaign gameplay here. Like, this is what I wish we would have saw from Halo Infinite. Because a couple days ago, the multiplayer already got, like, that 12-minute drop breaking down the multiplayer and all the different areas and all the sections. So anything they brought here, I was like, well, it's not going to be anything overly new. We already got so much information. And that's kind of what happened. We did get some new stuff. And they did talk to a few things and, you know, kind of went through that trailer. And I noticed a couple things they'll talk about. But nothing from Halo Infinite really, like, blew the lid off. I was more excited from the other things that I heard from other developers. Just simply because we already had that 12-minute multiplayer gameplay section. So what I would have preferred is just, like, let's see some campaign gameplay here. That's what I was hoping we're going to see at this presentation. Not to give spoilers, but I think, I don't know about you, but myself, I just want to understand a little bit more what type of game we're looking at here. Like, we know it's going to be partial open worlds, partial areas. It's going to be linear, but not super linear. But we don't have this full idea how this whole thing is working. We got these tiny snippets of gameplay, tiny snippets of story moments, and we just have no clue what we're looking at here for the most part. So I just wish we just would have got a little bit more campaign info here, and maybe would got to see one of the areas at least, or partial of the areas, or even the same demo they showed last year, but with all the improved graphics. Like, I don't know. I just wish we would have got to see something like that. But other than that, like, that's my only little complaint here. Instead of multiplayer, I wish we would have got some campaign. But overall, it was really interesting stuff that we got to see for the multiplayer as well. They broke down the trailer a little bit, went to piece, different sections, and kind of explained a little bit here as well. And so one of the things I noticed too, obviously I talked about last Sunday when I covered Xbox, a lot of tools in this sandbox that are coming to Halo. Like, it's core Halo at its gameplay, but you got all these different layers of new stuff that are going to completely transform and change the way we play. So there's going to be lots of tools in the toolbox. Two of the things that I noticed here that I didn't notice in the first multiplayer trailer, when I watched it, but when I was watching it after they slow it down and everything, is, so there seems to be also a scanner. So we know there's, like, the grapple hook. We know there's that shield wall. There seems to also be a scanner. He threw this blue grenade looking thing, and I thought it was a plasma grenade when I watched the trailer at full speed, but when you slow it down, it kind of sends off this pulse, which in the trailer then he uses to figure out where this person is and throw a grenade to hit them directly. So there seems to also be this kind of scanner to be able to see through walls, how far it goes, how much you can actually see. That we'll have to wait till we see the game or get some more gameplay of it, but that's, again, another pretty impactful tool to be able to see through walls and see where your enemies are. That is significant, just beyond the motion tracker, because that only goes so far. You can just throw it wherever you want on the map and you can see the enemies. Like, can your whole team see it? Like, that's also the other question here as well. Can your whole team see the enemies that you scanned, or is it just you? That's a question I would like to know. We also saw it was like a deflector or something. So one part, I thought there was maybe a grenade getting thrown back and forth again, a new one. But it looked like there was a plasma bolt from a plasma pistol that was charged and shot, which you know takes down the shield. And it looks like the player deflected that back at the Spartan who shot it and then killed them. So is there some sort of deflector that deflects plasma bolts? That deflects like grenades and stuff like that, especially plasma grenades? Like, you can actually block that kind of stuff? That's interesting. That's interesting. So those are kind of two things that I saw there. That's like, wow, I'd love to get more gameplay and more insight to what these are. They didn't specifically talk about, they talked about the scanner a bit, but they didn't mention this deflector. And that's kind of what it looked like to me. Maybe I'm off my rocker. Maybe I saw some other stuff because I'm old and stuff, whatever. But that's what it looked like to me. Very exciting. Very exciting. We found out that items are going to spawn on, they're going to spawn on items on the map. So guns aren't just going to fall on the floor. Like, they're going to be in like a little gun holder. That's kind of where they're going to spawn. We got to see more of the Banished designs too, for the Chopper, the Ghost, the Banshee. Looked incredible. I love the Banished designs here. I love the purple Covenant smooth, slick ones too. But this is such a switch up from what we got before. It's not just the red. You get kind of that sharp, that plating look to them as well. And I love it. Love it. 12v12 big team battles. That's also some new information we got. We also got information that vehicles are going to be back in 4v4, which I think was it Halo 3 that had vehicles in 4v4? I don't quite remember which exact one kind of did that. Because 4v4 generally is like pretty tight spaces. It's that arcade mode, right? So you don't usually have vehicles in those smaller areas, but it looks like they're going to be putting vehicles back in 4v4, which again is going to be a nice switch up, bring in and encourage teamwork is what I'm trying to say. That's what I'm trying to say. Okay. Let's see here. Also, they also mentioned there's a tech preview this summer. So sign up on Halo Insider, test out this game in the summertime and just kind of do a test preview. So it's kind of their beta type thing. I guess they call it what? Flighting. I think that's what they're doing in the MCC right now, Master Chief Collection. They're the flighting where they test out the seasons. Then when the seasons are done, they're all tested. Everyone's good with them, happy, whatever the developers decide. Then they bring it to the console. So if you want to be part of that, if you want to try out this game and get in on that tech preview, sign up at HaloInsider.com. That'll be cool. All right. So, yeah, that's pretty much it, I guess. That's all kind of we got there for multiplayer stuff. So it wasn't too expansive as far as new information because we'd gone so much of it, but it was just noticing some of those little moments, especially in that multiplayer trailer, that I didn't really notice before the first time. But when they slow it down, it's like, oh yeah, that's interesting. There's something going on there, isn't it? There's something going on. Not sure exactly quite sure on all of them, but there's something going on. But anyway, seeing this Halo stuff, seeing the Halo stuff Sunday, totally just, I got bit by the Halo bug. I'm super excited. I even jumped back into Master Chief Collection a little bit there too. That's not going well, to be honest. It hasn't been going well, especially on Halo 3 for some reason. I'm getting destroyed. I gotta get back into this. But yeah, like tons of games we're talking about today and shown. And there's so many that I'm looking forward to and I'm just really excited about coming to Xbox. Halo Infinite, Battlefield 2042, 12 Minutes at Indie Game, The Ascent, Somerville Replaced, Flight Simulator is gonna be amazing. I need to get like a joystick for that one for the console. That's the way to play that game. Age of Empires 4, Forza Horizon 5. These are games I'm very, very excited to play. And most of them, minus Battlefield 2042, are going to be coming to Game Pass on day one. And yeah, you hear complaining online and on the internet, oh, Game Pass is not that great, blah, 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 blah. Like, dude, just be happy with whatever you're gaming and people will be happy with whatever they're gaming. Like, again, I got the Xbox, I got the PlayStation, I got the Nintendo. I love all three for different reasons. And as an owner of all three and a lover of all three consoles, I'm telling you, Game Pass is an amazing service. And it's just, like, it's the perfect accessory. Perfect supplement for my own games library. It gives me the ability to also purchase other games I want to do more gaming. Like before, it would have been like, do I get Halo Infinite or do I get Battlefield 2042? Like that would be the question there. Wouldn't be able to play both of them, afford both of them, let alone 12 Minutes, Ascent, Somerville, Replace, Flight Simulator, Age of Empires 4, Forza Horizon 5. Like forget all that stuff. I would have to decide between Halo Infinite and Battlefield 2042. Now I can just, it's Battlefield 2042 because I'll still be able to play Halo Infinite. Will I buy Halo Infinite myself and put money down on that? Yeah, probably. Because I'm a Halo fan, I want to own it. But if it comes down to that question, especially when we get to the end of the year here, like they've just removed that obstacle for me. And allow me to put my money on other games that aren't part of Game Pass. And that's not just on the Xbox console. Like, there is so much coming this fall from the industry. Nintendo's got some really great stuff coming. Like, I know I'm going to want to get that Mario Party game for the family. Guardians of the Galaxy from Square Enix. Even though I'm a little cautious and hesitant about it after Avengers. It looks like a fun time. And it looks like they're doing things that are right. But that's coming out in October too. And PlayStation, possibly this fall, Horizon Forbidden West. We haven't got a confirmation date. It could get pushed to 2022. But that's also possibly coming in the fall. And we don't know what else PlayStation has planned. So honestly, like, it's going to be super busy. There's going to be so many games. And Game Pass just allows me to play as many games as possible. And using my money more strategically. Getting to put my money towards other games and other systems. And because it's taken off that burden of cost when it comes to all the games that are coming to Game Pass. But yet, I still get to play them. So, like, if you're not saying it's a great deal, if you don't think so, if you just own PlayStation, you're like, screw Xbox, I don't really care. Like, or if you're, you know, whatever they call it, fanboys. If you're a fanboy of everything else but Xbox and you hate the system, like, whatever, I'm not going to argue with you. Like, that's okay, that's your call. If you want to hate it, you go for it. But I'm just saying, like, man, people who hate all the other consoles, except for the one they're playing, you're only screwing yourself over. Because there's so many systems, there's so many plans, there's so many experiences and stories that each console brings to the table that is unique. And you're just screwing yourself over. You're the one who's missing out, not me. But like so many games are coming. It's very, very exciting. So let's move on to the last kind of little, not topic, but section of this presentation that I want to talk about. And I won't talk about it for super long, but I love Design Labs. I'm loving Design Labs. And I love that it's back with next-gen controllers. That's very exciting. This was one of my predictions when it came to E3 that I did, I think, on episode 1 of this podcast. I said Design Labs is going to be back with next-gen controllers. No doubt. And I was close. I was just a couple days off. Because they didn't obviously show it at E3. And I was like, well, what the hell, man? When's this coming back? I want to get me some controllers designed. And of course, they're saving it for this event. And it was just excellent. Like, it was awesome. I just love their back. I'm going to be for sure going in there, checking it out, see what's different, see what kind of new additions they've added to your controllers. But honestly, for like the value and what it does, it's so great. Like there's tons of customization options and colors for every pieces of the controller. Like you can add grips and inscriptions to them as well. Like you can just make them so personalized and have so much fun with them. Like whether you're making one that represents a character or a moment in your life, or you just like the color designs, or you just want to make one that's super unique that no one else is going to have. Like you can do that. And again, with that inscription, like it's just so personalized, just so yours. Are they cheap? No, but they're very, very cool. I have one for the Xbox One that I still use that I got in close to the end of 2019. Kind of fall of 2019 there. And I engraved it with my son's name, who was born that year, and his birth date. And, you know, the colors that I used for that controller were red, black, and white in different spots there. But that was the colors of the radio station that I was working at the time. So that controller, to me, it's really like what I made it to be was this personal piece of gaming equipment that no one else is going to have. And to me, what it represents is just a memory of my stay of that stage in my life. And well, that stage was kind of short because COVID happened, you know, like 6 months later. When I look at that controller, I think of that year and everything that was going on. And like, it's always going to represent that to me, no matter how old I get. So, and every time I play it, like, it just brings up those memories, which is so, so great. So whatever you want to honor, again, whether it's a moment in your life, whether it's your favorite character, whether it's just favorite colors you have, or something that's significant to your family or to, you know, to you, whatever you want to honor, you can do that. And that is really awesome. I love Design Labs. I love that it's back. And I love that Paris used it to burn Khalif. Ka can't cook. He can't cook. That was some funny shit. That was some really funny shit. So yeah, overall, I enjoyed this presentation. I hope you guys enjoyed it too. Paris was great. I loved how much information we got on various games. Like, so much we couldn't even cover. Like, we only talked about, what, 3-4 games here? And we've been going for quite a while already. Like, we could talk about this for 4 freaking hours and go through all the details of all these games that they brought up, and we would still have more to talk about. That is crazy amounts of information and content. That's crazy. So I just love how much we got, especially like since Thursday. I thought there was gonna be nothing, and they're like, boom, you need another 90-minute presentation? Here you go. Just drop it down. Insane. And honestly, yeah, there are some things I would have done differently with Halo, but I gotta say, Xbox has really improved their presentations, especially again over the last year. Like, it's literally the same difference in graphics between what Halo Infinite looked like last year and what it looks like this year. Like, that's their presentation quality and how much it's jumped. I don't know. I just love what they did. Like, it's just what we expect from E3 trailers, interviews, information. But they put it in literally 2 90-minute presentations instead of trying to cram it into one, which was amazing. Next thing we need, though, and I'm still waiting for, is that Halo Infinite campaign deep dive. Come on! Give us that Infinite campaign deep dive. Let's go. Let's go. But yeah, overall, fantastic presentation. And when Sony shows up this year, which they will, I want this level of presentation. It doesn't have to be 180 minutes spread out over 2, but I want the games. I want the information. I want to see trailers. I want to see these kind of breakdowns and stuff as well. Because when you have both of these companies just bringing it, just laying it all out on the table, no half measures, no half-ass stuff, they're just bringing the games, they're bringing their best game, like, that is the dream. That is the dream. And when that happens, man, the people who win are gamers. All gamers. All gamers. And I'm telling you, all of us, whether you're a gamer of Xbox, PlayStation, Nintendo, PC, this fall 2022, all of us are going to be very, very spoiled very, very soon. So what did you think about Xbox's Game Showcase Extended? Do you want more? Have you subscribed to Gamertag Radio and Spawn On Me podcast yet? Have you even subscribed to this podcast? What the hell are you waiting for? Get on it. Let me know what's on your mind. And that's all for this episode of Gaming Night Radio. Let me know what's going on inside that melon of yours. What are your thoughts on today's topics? You can contact me at gamingnightradio@gmail.com. I'll be back next week, Monday or Tuesday, as I kind of, I'm working out when exactly we'll do our weekly episode. So keep an eye out for that, or better yet, follow me on Twitter. And I'll put an update there. You can follow me at GK Radio Man. This has been episode 7. I'm Matt Ailu. Thank you for listening, and until next time, bye-bye. You've been listening to Gaming Night Radio, the perfect podcast for your gaming nights, with discussions, reviews, news, and calling out bullshit in the gaming industry. You can follow me on Twitter at GK Radio Man. Thank you for listening. See you next time.